Morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting now comes to order. If anybody has any cell phones or any other devices, if you could please silence them now. It's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. Appreciate it. If you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number 3, this is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for this date, February the 7th, 2017. Are there any changes to be made today to this agenda?
No, Mr. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask today that items 15 and 16 are continued and that they're continued to the February 21st County Commission meeting here at the courthouse.
15 and 16?
Yes. They're both tied together. The first one is a zone change. The other one is a special use permit. The applicant's still working with staff on developing some language in the special use since the Planning Commission.
Can you ask to February the 14th?
To February 21st, that 21st, is the date I have for our 21st. Next meeting, if I'm correct.
Right. Great.
I know with no other changes.
Any other changes?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing nothing, I get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
Second.
We move to second to continue today's consent agenda, including going ahead and continuing.
Items 15 and 16.
15 and 16 to February 21st.
This is not consent, though. I think you.
I say consent.
You're on number 3, I believe, approval of the agenda for today.
Approval agenda.
So I heard the word consent, and just to be clarified, this would be acting on item 3, which is approval of the agenda.
The motion was for consent.
Yeah.
This is not consent.
Yeah, it's not.
No.
You said you haven't voted.
Did I say consent agenda?
Yes. Said it out of habit.
Yep. I'll clear that motion and again make a motion to approve today's agenda for February 7th, 2017, and with knowledge knowing that we will be deleting items 15 and 16.
We're continuing those till February the 21st.
I'll second.
Moved to second to approve today's agenda. Those changes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4, discussion of possible action. Approve the minutes for January the 3rd, 2017. Any public comment regarding the minutes for January the 3rd? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for January 3rd, 2017.
Approve. Second.
Been moved in second to approve the minutes for January 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for January the 7th, 2017. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes, January the 7th? Hearing none, motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for January 7th, 2017.
Second.
Moved in second to approve the minutes for January the 7th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number 6, discussion possible action, approval of the minutes for January the 17th, 2017. Are there any public comment regarding the minutes for January the 17th? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for January 17th, 2017.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes for January the 17th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Now I'll move along to item number 7, the consent agenda. Is there any public comment concerning today's consent agenda? Hearing none, a motion for approval?
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. point out that under the consent agenda, there's 26 first readings of business licenses. So, once again, a whole bunch of licenses for the county. That's great. Okay, moving along to item number 8. Discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. Let's start off this morning with Public Works Director Jason Van Hebel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jason Van Hebel. From the last Commissioner's staff report until now, we've had a snow event and challenged with where to put the stuff all around town, so that's notable. We've been working on Mark Twain drainage repairs from the last event, cleaning that up, putting that back together. The drainage in Mark Twain is in such a way, or was designed in such a way, that it would deteriorate as it was utilized. So we were able to get that put back in place and actually make some upgrades to some key drainage areas down there, including cleaning out some culverts, cleaning out some ditches, better access to some of the key culverts in the area. And as of this morning, that's being utilized and working very well. So there are currently, as of about an hour ago, no events, no issues going on in Mark Twain on the drainage side. The courthouse has had some challenges with its roof and some of the chimneys on it, and so it caused some other damage. We were able to get on those and get those repaired, so we shouldn't be having any further deterioration on the courthouse roof. We've also, there was a significant pothole that was forming out in Try on Electric Avenue. Electric happens to be the highest volume road in the county that the county maintains. And so we got onto that pothole and got that fixed. Megabyte out in Try also received some significant erosion damage there in the early part of January. We were able to get on that and get the ditch repaired and get a significant amount of the blacktop repaired on that one as well. We also did some other work out in Try since the last update of cleaning out some of the clogged culverts that were out there that have been underutilized for some time. So some of them are back online. Certainly not all of them are cleared out yet, but we've made progress on those. We've also hit some ditches out there that have been filled in with some sediment over time, so they're back online to be operational, to be able to get the drainage, the water away from, let the water go where it wants to go in such a way that it won't cause any damage to the existing infrastructure. As of this morning, Six Mile Canyon, we have been able to direct some attention to Six Mile Canyon to get some of its key components repaired, reconstructed. It's certainly a work in progress, but we're able to get some key places kind of armored up to be able to protect itself against the current event. And as of about an hour ago, generally it was doing very well, although there's enough flow down in Six Mile Canyon right now that a couple of the culverts have clogged up with debris, and so the crew is down there actively right now clearing that debris so the water can flow through that area and not cause any other problems. So as of right now, Six Mile Canyon seems to be a stable situation, even though there's a lot of flow going through that canyon right now. The jail is having some drainage issues, which we plan on addressing today with the snow events. And the snow is piled up. It's interfered with some of the drainage around the jail. And so that's causing some issues right now, and that'll be cleared up by the end of the day today. And I also mentioned to you that Mark Twain, the drainage systems of Mark Twain, as of about an hour ago, were operating well, and I don't see any issues being caused down there. Lousetown weathered early January event with some damage, and that was largely covered up with snow for the past month. That snow is now gone, and you can see some of the remnants of some of those issues out there. Again, those are a top priority. Once we get past this current event, we're able to get work on Six Mile, getting that back together, and getting the shoulders back in place on Lousetown so we don't, for one thing, don't lose any of the blacktop, but also another, it's a safety issue. In some areas, the shoulders are missing. And we checked on Lockwood this morning and Lousetown Creek, while it's flowing pretty well, that all seems to be operational. They're not causing any, no further issues are being caused. That's all operating fine. While the water levels are moving through there fairly high and fairly quickly, they're not causing any imminent threat to any of the infrastructure or adjacent property. So I think that's kind of the whirlwind.
That's great. Any questions for Jason?
No.
I just have one comment.
Yes.
When I received a notification on the jail this morning and got a visual through James Dean, I asked Chuck Reno with Far West if he could have time to come up and take a look at it so we can have an engineered long-term fix if we've got some potential plans for that property. And he has been up and has looked at it, so he'll be doing some design engineering over the next couple months. Can't do anything right now. So.
Terrific. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Very good report.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Just to the peace office, Judge Harrington.
Judge Harrington, and this is part of my staff, Tammy Megan, and now Officer Stevens. And I know at your last NACO conference, you had a presentation about pretrial services, pretrial release. I understand, and Commissioner McBride, you came by and told me about that presentation you had received. Well, about 2 years ago, our office started working towards an effective pretrial and alternative sentencing program. And that's been one of the biggest achievements that our court has had. And as with many rural courts in Nevada, our court faces and our community faces the emotional and financial impact of criminal behavior within our community, and courts, even small courts, need to make sound decisions about an accused person's release or detention and sound decisions towards reducing the likelihood of a convicted person reoffending and sound decisions that affect everyone's safety in and out of the courtroom. So as I said, about 2 years ago, with an eye toward offering more services to the public without creating another level of bureaucracy, our court put a plan in motion to offer state-of-the-art services to Story County while remaining on a budget, very tight budget. And I'm pleased to say that we've achieved that goal through working with other agencies and resources within our community, and most importantly, having these two dedicated employees who were willing to step up to the challenge. So I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce Tammy Megan, who I've just introduced, but she's been with our court for 5 years, and she's been an invaluable part of keeping our court operations going through the development of an integral component of this process. And that brings me to Jessica Stevens. She came to Story County about 10 years ago, and while working for Story County as a court clerk, she joined the Nevada Army National Guard in 2009. Got to read my notes here. And she served as a guardsman with the 1st and 189th, am I saying that correctly, Aviation Regiment in Stead, Nevada. Besides being a shooting sports enthusiast and a competitive weightlifter, she has steadily been working towards her bachelor's in criminal justice and will have her bachelor's this fall. So, needless to say, when I approached her with the opportunity of creating a court, a pretrial and alternative sentencing program, and creating specifically a position called a court services officer / bailiff, she said yes. So that involved a lot of training over the past year, which involved her going to a 10-week post program with the Nevada Post Academy, and she graduated from that on November 10th, 2016, and Commissioner McBride was there. So she is now our first court officer, court services officer slash bailiff, and she's going to oversee all the pretrial services, alternative sentencing services, and help me make better decisions when I'm up on the bench. So, Officer Stevens and Tammy Meegan, thank you very much. And we did this, we did add to our staff, we added a less than part-time court clerk to help us while the three of us are in court making decisions about people's release and their alternative sentencing. And so far it's been very successful, and I see this as expanding in the future, and that's my update. Any questions? Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Ms. Stevens.
Yeah.
Thank you very
congratulations.
Much.
She worked hard.
Thank you for your service as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank
very
you.
Very good.
And now we're going to go back to work.
Yeah. Very good. All right. From the Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Antonora.
Just a few things. Has already been discussed, the flooding at the jail this morning, not as bad as it was the last one that we had, but they're staying on top of it and keeping it going down the drains. I think after the last flood event, we made sure there wasn't going to be any computer issues. Everything is up off the floor, and so far none of that has gotten close to the water.
Prisoners don't have to stand on their beds or anything like that?
No.
And I'm going to squeeze you from what I was saying.
A recent change that we're doing, and it's not have any effect on ordinance or anything, just procedural change. We recently went through audit with the state of Nevada on civil applicants and stuff, and we had some discussion about that several meetings ago based on some of the findings that that audit had. Well, we just went through an audit by the FBI, who became even more restrictive than the state was. So as it applies to work card applicants, or we're going with a form letter now that is even more plain than it was before. It'll just say either ineligible, denied, you have it there in front of you, Pat?
Failure to make necessary disclosures, ineligible, failure to complete application process.
Yeah, it's just a three, check the block box, whichever category it falls into. The FBI says that at least in the instances of the brothel, we normally work with the brothel as far as trying to facilitate where they can make any appeals to the commission or anything. The FBI says we can no longer do that. We can only discuss it specifically with the applicant. So that'll be the only operational change. But just because I'm sure it'll probably come up at some time, that's the background as to why that form letter change doesn't affect anything ordinance-wise or procedurally. It's just that that form letter will be changed. Last thing I have is in a recent conversation with John Smoker from the 10 Acres Association. I guess they've been having, especially with the weather events, they've been having some significant problems with parking there around the mailboxes, and they're trying to come up with some solutions to rectify that. In the conversation, they understand both the 10 and the 1 Acres Association know that they have to come before you because it is within the county right-of-way. But I informed them I would just give you a heads up that they are working on different ideas. Apparently people parking in the middle of the road, taking chains off, putting chains on, things like that, and they're looking at ideas on how they can either improve the shoulders or have designated areas for parking in inclement weather. So just an early notice on that. They'll be coming forward with diagrams and proposals and stuff. Any questions?
Thank you, Jerry.
On the letter concerning the brothel stuff, the letter was sent to the brothel notifying them of all this already.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Senior Center Director, Stacy Gilbert. Nothing today? Okay. From the Community Chest and Library, Sean Griffin.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Commissioners. Forgive me if I'm a little scattered. I've just gotten some bad news. I'll be brief. We opened the bids for the community center. We received three bids. They're all higher than what we'd expected because in the year since we planned the project, labor and materials have all gone up and they're continuing to rise. So we're talking with the contractors as we speak. Some great news on the library front. Amy Geddes, the director of Lyon County Libraries, has reached out and just jumped in with both feet to help Sandy and ourselves. We are in the process of once again applying for public library status under a waiver, which means we don't need to have any more public approval than we already have. All the same processes. It's just that we can demonstrate now that we've worked so hard to get it to where it is, that they will grant us this exception, this waiver. And what that means to you, literally, is a savings of about $5,000. I was just about to purchase the EBSCO online database, which is essentially the same kind of database that's used at the library and the university to have access to millions of periodicals, newspapers, books, research databases, etc. Because we can apply, and if we get accepted, and I'm now hopeful that we will because the director of libraries at the state is no longer there, and the new director is the one helping us with this process, as are the others, the other state library, or the other county library directors, they will pay for a claim, which is their version of the same system. So what it means, essentially, is that finally the library will be back with solid support from their peers, will have revenue, we'll be able to apply for the grants. We won't be climbing the uphill battle. We won't be playing Sisyphus anymore. And it's a huge, huge win. And I don't really know what to attribute it to. Sandy was trying her best and Mark Twain to open that library. She wasn't getting any response. So I said to Sandy, call Amy and see if you can have her work with you because it's just across the line there from Dayton. She came over and she just said, I'll do whatever you need me to do. And she's the director of six libraries. So we're going to change Mark Twain to a self-lending paperback library. You can come and go and get the books whenever you want, leave what you want, take what you want. You don't have to worry about staffing it. And there'll always be books there, paperbacks for people to use. She boxed up with Sandy, physically boxed up all the books, took them to her pod in Lyon County, had one of her people come and move them. I'm talking 60 boxes of books, and then has volunteered to take three of her librarians to come catalog the books if and when we get accepted by CLAM in the state library system, so that we'll have a fast track to get back to square one. We've already purchased the cards. At that juncture, once this approval process is complete and the books are all online, we can hit the go button, and everybody within phone distance, meaning anybody that has an iPhone, computer, anything, will have immediate electronic access to every record that we're going to be having access to. Immediately. It's such a sea change. I can't explain to you how fortunate we are that she's jumped in like this. And so have the state library folks. It's a blessing. It's a real blessing. So, and lastly, our concert for April 14th is with Rodney Crowell, and he's definitely the largest name we brought in. Country rock, somewhere in that middle. He just did a Grammy-winning album with Emmylou Harris. He's just widely regarded all over. We had to move the show up a couple weeks to miss the Southwest date because he's doing a special tribute to Guy Clark. He's heavyweight. So the tickets are online. Grab them. They're cheap. He sold out two shows in October at a small venue in Salt Lake. He's a big guy. So please join us. And I have to go now. I'm sorry. Are there any questions?
Great. No. I'm thinking with the stronger construction economy right now is why these bids are higher than you anticipated.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, we penciled the bid like down to the last dime. We're not that far off. I'll be able to raise the additional revenue in the interim. I, of course, would like to not have to do that. We're not that far off. We're talking 10%. It's not life changing. But and we'll start when there's a draw, and we'll get done by August. But we'll just build it with less and phase the rest in. We'll get the C of O and phase the rest in after we raise the rest of the money.
Okay.
And this is not the Rubicon. We've been down this road before. And I want to thank you again for your support. But hopefully, once we get the bid process squared away, we'll have an opening. I'll invite all you guys, and somebody put their, one of you guys can put your shovel in the ground, and 6 months later, we'll have an opening and walk in the building.
Great.
Okay?
Nice work, Sean.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay, come over here. The Planning Department, Kathy Canfield.
Morning. Right now, probably the biggest project to update you on is I'm working on updating the solid waste management plan, looking at updating our numbers and reviewing the franchise agreements and everything that we've got in place. So that's probably the biggest project that I'm working on at the moment. And then, I don't know, Austin, you have anything to add? No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Kathy, just for my clarification, the solid waste management plan, and you mentioned the franchise agreement. We have two franchise agreements with waste management. We have one for the landfill, and then we have one for pickup.
Yeah.
Which one is this one?
This is both. I'm just looking at everything that was there, trying to update the solid waste management plan. The franchise agreements and everything is just a piece of what overall the county is doing. So just as part of reviewing that is going back and for my own clarification, because I'm new to all this, is trying to piece back what's happened and where we're at and then seeing if there's anything additional that we'll need to do.
Okay. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Director of Security, Melanie Keenan. Thank you, Melanie. Fire Department, Chief Hayes or Battalion Chief Nevin?
I don't have anything today, thank you. I don't need anything.
Okay. Senior Planner and Human Resources Director?
Actually, Planning Director.
Well, that's right. This is Tuesday. It changes every Tuesday, doesn't it?
No, it changes to Tuesday.
Thank you, Commissioners, Chairman. I just want to let you and the public know that this Thursday, February 16th, there will be our first strategic plan workshop. That will be a joint session between the Planning Commission and the County Commission. It will be set up where we'll also have some department heads there, myself, and the public as well. And the purpose of this is really to kick off our strategic plan for the internal workings of the organization and how Story County really fulfills its goals and objectives both internally and for the taxpayer and citizen of the county. This will be a series of meetings that will be similar to what we saw in the master plan workshops and probably will be about a year process. Now that place is going to take place at the Virginia City Conference Center down on F Street, at 10 F Street, and that's the old bank building. On March 23rd will be our town hall meeting with the Planning Commission, and the purpose of that will be for the United States Geological Survey, USGS, to come and talk about its water program as far as monitoring wells in the Highlands area and to look at potential costs for that and how the county might work with the USGS to get that project done. That, again, is on March 23rd, and that will be at the fire station out in the Highlands at 6 o'clock p.m. I will let you know very briefly that the applicant that we have here today also is a representative from AT&T, and he has been working with his team graciously to look at a feasibility analysis for the monopine out in the Highlands, as well as the cell tower that exists here in Virginia City, and potentially for the additional another tower at various locations here in Virginia City to potentially get AT&T service in these communities. They're looking at the cost feasibility as far as how many people will be using the service, what type of service will be provided, and if it's going to work or not. He's been working with me and his team, and probably about 6 weeks or so he'll have an idea if this is possible or not to do that analysis. And then last, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this because I'm going to ask for it to be an agenda item on February 21st, but Comstock Mining, I had an overflow down at the heap leach facility related to the 100-year, well, it's not officially a 100-year event yet, but the flooding that happened in this last storm. They were compliant with their emergency plans and the NDEP and other requirements as far as planning and reporting. The NDEP has been down there working on it, and they're mitigating the situation. There doesn't appear to be a major issue at this point. The NDEP is going to get me, Comstock Mining, and our other team any notices or anything, other actions that may happen as a result. We do would like to invite Comstock Mining to this meeting as an agenda item and NDEP, Nevada Division Environmental Protection, to discuss the matter, and by then we'll have any results from the NDEP of what has happened. So that's all I have.
Before Mr. Osborne sits down, just to be correct, the conference center is at 10 South E, not 10 South F.
Oh, as I say, F, case okay, F.
And I'm just curious, about how many pages do you anticipate the strategic plan to be maximum?
A very good plan could be 700 to 800 pages. Ultimately, we'll be there. But the first phase, probably about 30 or so. It's going to have some very core values, core goals and objectives, mission, vision, statement. And that's the target.
Any questions for Austin?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gallagher. Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
County Manager Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bunches of stuff, mostly for other folks. Dean Haymore is out again as we speak with flood damage assessment teams from both FEMA and Nevada DEM. At current count, and everybody seems to be comfortable with this right now, the damage we sustained from the first round of storms is resting at about $6.4 million, and about 2.5 of that is the Circle de Serres Bridge in and of itself. So we'll continue to work with them through the process. The next significant milestone for us, Dean mentioned this morning, is staffing was probably around the middle, maybe the 15th to the 20th of February. We should have an update on status of the federal declaration of emergency. We may not have that final. Sherry Nevin is tied up listening to what's now turned into a daily briefing from the National Weather Service. You heard Public Works Director Van Havel mention the storm. Sheriff Antonoro mentioned the storm. This round of storms, I talked with Joe Curtis yesterday, who's in an emergency managers conference in Las Vegas. This round of storms are probably as concerned or more concerned in some respects with the round we experienced in early January, especially from a water rain precipitation level as opposed to snow. The atmospheric river that they talked about, formerly referred to as the Pineapple Express, looks to be stronger, larger, deeper, and more intense, according to briefings I saw yesterday. The good news is that they feel that the impact itself will not be on Truckee River or on the rivers as much as it was in early January, but we are being very watchful of our communities, our streams, our drainage ditches. Dean's got his inspectors and staff out looking at in the Highlands, where there has been some, again, damage to the private section of Cartwright, and down in Mark Twain, which will be a concern, but as Jason said, some of our mitigation issues have seemed to have helped this morning anyway. But it looks like we're going to be in for a rough ride this week. So, and we'll keep you posted. And last, I get the pleasure of saying something really exciting. I got an email from
our federal consultants and partners in Washington, D.C., John Porter, Dan Maurer, et cetera. And it says, after some meetings and discussions with the Oversight Committee staff, today they introduced the new postal reform bill that includes our zip code fix. Then from the Congressional Digest, the bill is known as H.R. 756, the Postal Reform Act of 2017. And listening to some of the current co-sponsors is pretty exciting. You've got co-sponsor chairman is Senator or Assemblyman Congressman Chavez, Republican from Utah. The ranking member is Elijah Cummings, a Democrat from Maryland. Mark Meadows, a Republican from North Carolina. Dennis Ross, a Republican from Florida. Jerry Connolly, a Democrat from Virginia. And Stephen Lynch, a Democrat from Maryland. So, you know, we're getting good, positive, bipartisan cooperation. This bill could only be dreamt that it would be entered this early in this current Congress. So we're very optimistic at this stage that the fix, and by the way, if you do want the link, and once you find H.R. 756, I can tell you it's 120 some odd pages. Go right to page 89, section 211, zip codes, not later than 270 days after the date of enactment of this act, the Postal Service shall designate a single unique zip code for, as nearly as practicable, each of the following communities. And they list five total. Number two on that list is Story County, Nevada. So we have a shot at it. Again, I'll caution everybody, it's not a done deal till, in this case now, President Trump would sign it. And even then, as we've learned on public lands, once you get an act of Congress done, how it's interpreted by the various agencies is always an experience. So we'll be working closely with our team back there. They're working closely with, of course, with Congressman Hamaday and our rest of our Nevada delegation in the House at this stage. So,
H.R. 756?
756. I'll send you an email, Jack, that has all the information.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. I had one question. Of course, this might, Keith might chime in. You know, because we declared emergency in Story County, that gives us the authority to go in and help the private road sector, like in the Highlands, as we did. And that worked out real well. The Highlanders were very happy that we jumped in and helped J.E. and the guys on the road crew out there. And then since then, we've had a discussion about trying to find a way to do that without having to declare emergency. Because the emergency was our avenue in. So I don't know if any progress has been made or anybody looking into that.
You can finish if you need to. I'll speak to that from a staffing level. Mr. Loomis, Ms. Wanger, and I kicked around an email last week that listed five high-priority items. Keith is checking them off as he goes. There are paths that he's preliminarily identified. It's just how we go about it. I've spoken with the president of the One Acre Association, Jay Carmona. He's comfortable. I mean, if they really, really need help, we'll strongly consider declaring another emergency so we could facilitate that. I would tell you probably as we finish up winter and going into spring, we'll have a path that will allow us with some key disciplines on it, because we don't want to become necessarily, we're not staffed to take care of all the private roads in the county. That would be Rainbow Bend and other places as well. But Ann and Keith's work has just been tremendous for me, and they're working their way through that proper priority on that list. So, pretty
yes. Jack, there's a specific statute that addresses how you can use county equipment on private roads. One is the declaration of emergency, and the other one is to pass an ordinance with some findings that would authorize the use. And I can send you a copy of that ordinance or statute. Take a look.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm done.
In conclusion, yeah. Any questions for Pat? None? Sherry, we're just finishing up on staff reports. Did you have anything to report while you're there? Perfect.
morning, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. Sorry I'm late. Was just on a weather briefing call. It looks like we're kind of out of the woods for today. Rain is going to kind of taper off and move south. Have a little bit of concern about the Thursday storm. We could see some more significant rains coming in that day, perhaps some river rises, small streams and creeks. So we're closely monitoring that. We have a call with the state this afternoon to order resources if needed. So Joe Curtis is in Vegas at Emergency Management Conference. Kind of ironic it's happening this week. He will be back late tomorrow afternoon, so we'll be good on that. I think that's really all I have for today.
Okay.
Sorry, I just ran upstairs.
That's okay.
And I might jump on. I just got an email from Dean that has a picture captured. This is Lousetown just a few minutes ago. We do have what looks to be a fairly significant washover at that location. So
there's a lot of water running down Gold Hill, but the drainage seems to be handling it pretty well. There's one spot just before you come down into Devil's Gate that it may cross over the road, but drainage seems to be handling it fairly well. Haven't had any reports in Mark Twain area. We did have some issues at the jail this morning, which I think has probably already been brought up, that I believe was mitigated. So we're just staying up on top of everything. I'm sure. Hopefully we might get a break this weekend. We could see some snow on Friday, and they're predicting another similar type storm for President's Day weekend.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry. County Clerk Vanessa Stevens? Nothing today. All right. That concludes the committee and staff reports. We'll move on now to item number 9. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. We'll start out with Commissioner Gilman.
Yeah, I'll share with the board and group. Plum Hess and I, our lobbyist, attended the inauguration ceremonies for President Trump. And it was, I'm going to tell you, for those of you that haven't experienced it firsthand, it was an incredible moment. And I'll tell you that to sit there with those folks and the choirs and the speeches and the ceremony and the respect, and to have the introduction to the feelings of our nation and who we are as a people, United States of America, it gave me chills, a bit of emotion, and just for that moment in time, just an incredible experience, and one that I'll never forget. And then we had the opportunity to have quite a number of meetings while in Washington. Senator Heller was incredibly generous with his time. He treated us to well over 2 hours to a special luncheon and the opportunity to discuss Story County in depth and many of the things that we are all looking at. Certainly the zip code issue was high on our list, and as well as an issue that hasn't floated to the surface yet, but we're very concerned about, and that is that our state watermaster is looking at severe restrictions on allowing in the state additional wells to be drilled, even though you have underground water rights. And it's not a federal issue at this point, but it's certainly a state issue, and it hasn't reached the moment of decision, but could have a very negative impact on all of our developments, and especially here in Story County. So something that we have to pay a special attention to. And then Congressman Porter, who has sent the letter through this morning, was again extremely generous with their time. So we're there on the day just before the inauguration, and he and his entire staff took us to lunch and spent a couple hours with us discussing all things Nevada. And it was interesting because Congressman Porter represents many of the industries and departments within Reno and Sparks and the state of Nevada. And so he's very conversant with a lot of our challenges and things that are coming at us, and the behind the scenes, if you will, on what he and his entire staff are working on. And so I can share with you that he was very positive and proactive in our zip code issue. And so it's my general impression, based on what he said and what he shared with us and the letter that's come through this morning, and then having the backup of Senator Heller, that we have a strong probability here in Story County of finally seeing our zip code issue resolved, and therefore our sales tax issues resolved. And it couldn't come at a stronger time because we're on the threshold of seeing an incredible amount of sales tax revenue generated. And so it was all positive from Washington, and I can't tell you what an incredible experience it was. Thank you.
Thanks, Lance. Vice Chairman McGuffey.
Yes. Of course, as many of you already know, the 79th Nevada Legislature has gone into session as of yesterday. I have volunteered with NACO as a member to be a member of their legislative committee. So I'll be we'll be reviewing the oversight committee for the legislature. We will meet every Friday afternoon, and that'll kind of keep me and you, everyone, up to date on what's going on. Now, there's 864 bill drafts that they have to go through. So we don't know when ours will come about, or like ours, meaning SB 57, the V&T reconfiguration of the committee from 9 to 5 members, board members. That's BD 57, or SB 57, sorry. But that's just one. That's one that affects Story County more than anything. Kind of a personal BDR to speak of. But there are many, like the water, the well issue. We'll be keeping an eye on that. There's much opposition to that bill. I can't remember the bill number at this time, but there's many others. The land use bills that we're keeping our eye on, and so I'll report anything. Most of these are like adjustments or revisions to existing bills, and a lot of them don't even pertain to us. A lot are Las Vegas, and a lot of your elected officials have their own little pet peeve bills or adjustments they want to do. So a lot of it's, it just doesn't affect us at all. So I'll just try to keep us on aware of what might affect us. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jack. I don't have too much. Any of those who are sports fans and watched Super Bowl on Sunday, probably some of the greatest comebacks in NFL history at the Super Bowl, going to overtime. So if you're a Patriots fan, something to be proud of. If you're a Falcons fan, probably the worst defeat one could ever witness. To have your team muff it up when you have a guaranteed win with only a few minutes left in the game. So, good for me. I'm not a fan of either team. I heard a rumor going around the courthouse this morning that it was a certain individual's birthday. Because of the confidentiality rules that we have, I couldn't get a date of birth on this individual. But I did go to Mr. Gallagher's office, and I filtered through several years of time cards, and I added up how many hours this person has worked since he was hired. And I'm pleased to announce that Austin is 62 years old today. Maybe only 39.
He's just a young man.
And you can arrest me later for dealing into those confidential records there. Congratulations. Cheated death for another year. All right. Move on to something more serious now. This is item number 10. It's discussion only, and we'll take no action. This is a review of the second quarter of 2017 unaudited budget to actual review. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I looked at the second quarter in review, we've basically, with your guys' permission, tried to put this in a summary form. I know that very early on we've cited not to bring the department heads up except in very special circumstances. I'm glad to report that for the second period, I think that the department heads within the general have done a fantastic job of keeping their payrolls where they should be. A couple of items of interest, though. Our revenue for the 6 months ended 12/31 is about $531,000 less than it was the previous year, which is basically due to property taxes. Our real property tax is down about $441,000, and our personal property tax is about $68,000. So we continue to see reduction in property taxes going forward. We have no idea what the legislature will approve now. Obviously, there's some things that they're trying to look at market value and things of that nature. But in general, we are trying to buffer that loss in property tax with other things. Obviously, business licenses, permits, things of that nature come to mind. In addition, we spent about $860,000 more than we did last year. However, we all have that we all understood where the budget was going to be, that there were priority items that needed to be done, and so consequently, those were all acquired within the budget process last year. We had an election expense that was a little more expensive than we thought, which accounted for some of the things in the clerk treasurer's office. And as I was reminded by the clerk treasurer the other day, there's a bill at least before the legislature to have very new machines. And of course, the state would like us to pay for them ourselves, even though it's under the Secretary of State. There are professional services that we need that were increased over the prior year, but again, those were recognizable, as well as expenditures for infrastructure. Building maintenance, for example, the North County Senior Center had about $33,000 put onto it, and some of our communications to make us better at what we're doing, including fiber. For the general account, I'm glad to report that I'm very pleased with it. And with the special revenue funds, they continue. We don't have a serious situation with those. Our roads department has a net that's very healthy. Sewer and water also are very healthy, and our cap projects and infrastructure still are very healthy with some good ending fund balances, of which we're going to be using some of those applications or funds during the end of this year and certainly for next year. The Tourism Commission is at because in the prior years, at this point in time, they were in a negative position. I'm glad to inform you that they are in a positive position at this period of time. And, of course, our 474 Fire District, we initiated the capital improvement plan that you approved of early this year. We weren't sure of an amount, but the capital asset fund or capital improvement fund, there was a transfer in that department as well for the 6 months ended. So with that, if the commission has any questions, I'll be glad to answer it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. One thing I failed to acknowledge was at the last NACO meeting, we were visited by the owner of the AS-400 system that we use. And he's going out of business. It's an antiquated system. Nobody wants to pick it up because it's so antiquated. But we will lose this service in 3 years, probably just less than 3 years now. So NACO has gotten involved just at a level of
possibly helping counties look for financing, maybe towards the legislature to help finance, because we're talking all but Washoe and Clark County need to upgrade, and they're talking the new systems are three times more costly than they are, you know, than they were for this system. So I just, I don't know if you wanted to touch base with that or just leave it at that.
This is going to be...
We don't know if we're going to have to pay for it, or I'm sure we'll get some kind of financial help, but I don't know where yet.
This is going to be something we're going to have to budget for. It is a complete restructure or complete replacement of our information technology infrastructure. We're going from a very, very secure system to somewhat of a cloud-based system, or whomever is out there. I know there's a consortium out there that's looking at it, and you know, my thoughts are that where the rest of the counties go, we certainly have the ability to do that. I think it would be it would be best to have that done. I'm not completely convinced that the 400 solution, at least for the accounting package, can't be resolved or at least included. But there has to be a lot of work done there. So, and again, as I told everybody, I'm one of those old AS400 guys, and but I also know that the individuals that are here working in the courthouse now are a lot more intelligent than I was when I was their age, programming in COBOL. So, with that, I have no problem with whatever that system is, as long as it's secure. So, we'll keep you informed as where we're going. As we speak, there's demonstrations going on next week and in March and whatever of all these different type of vendors coming in with all of their supposed product. And the supposed product is it's not canned yet. It's not programmed. Right. It's salesmen talking to people, trying to get them to say, oh, look at this, how good this looks. They haven't done anything yet.
Yeah. And if I can jump in too, you know, to clarify one thing and then add one thing. Just so there's not a misconception, you know, I think NACO's slightly off the mark in that the level of communication says we're using an antiquated obsolete system. It is not. It is rock solid. It's never been hacked. In the world of cybersecurity today, I would tell you, as a platform, it is the gold standard. But the problem is the programmers, the coders, are the ones that are the dying breed. So I'm proud to say with Comptroller Gallagher's leadership and also elected officials like Vanessa and Jana and others, you know, we are already on this as an internal organization, making sure we know what we want, and then to the degree we can, trying to match that on a regional and hopefully 15 county basis. So that we can gain on those economies of scale, but it's going to be a journey. It's got a number of sad components to it, unfortunately. If you talk to the average user inside the courthouse that uses the S400 every day, most all of them will tell you they love it. I proposed back in 1999 to get off of the AS400, and I thought my staff at the time was going to shoot me. So, but we're on it. Hugh's leading the group, but we have all the heavy users, the power users in there, including James Dean from IT and others.
Yeah. I was relaying the owner of the S400 from the... He's the one who said it was antiquated and nobody wants to buy it or touch it, so...
I had another conversation with Mark after that. And the system architecture is old, but... As I relate to him, the AS400 is still here. If you look at any hotel reservation, any slot in the hotel industry, an AS400 has got that. If you look at any airline deal, whether under the hood is an AS400 that runs all that stuff. And that's why they do it, is because it's so secure. So it'll be an interesting path to see where we're going to go here.
Yes, and I did make the recommendation that we use I cannot remember the name of the county officials. League of County Officials or
County Financial Officers Association,
yeah.
CFOA?
Yeah, just because those are the people that are going to be using it more. Right. We don't want to be picked what you have to use.
Yeah.
They should be more involved, and I've recommended them to put a consortium together.
Right. So. I agree.
All right. Any other questions for you on this? All right, then, why don't we go ahead and move right into item number 11 now, discussion of possible action. Review and possible approval of the Scurry County audited financial statements for the year ending June 30th, 2016.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. You have approved this in a prior meeting. However, District Attorney Langer didn't think that the language within the motion suggested that we approve the financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2016. So this is changes have been made. The report has been issued. And this is kind of a little housekeeping to say that, you know, what your original motion was for the audit, unaudited with the changes, is now the approval process for the audited.
Okay. With that said, then we can ask if there's any public comment. You weren't here, I don't think, at the last time. Did you have any questions regarding the audit financial for this? No? Okay. That will get a motion to approve the Scurry County audited financial statement for the year ending 2016.
I'll make a motion to approve the recommended actions pertaining to the auditor's recommendations for the audit report period ending June 30th, 2016.
Second the motion.
It's been moved and second to approve audited financial for June 30th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Okay, moving along now to item number 12 is discussion and possible action, review and possible approval of the auditor's recommendations pertaining to Scurry County audit report for the period ending June 30, 2016. So this is along the same lines. We also approved this at the last meeting, is that right?
No, we did not.
Oh, we didn't?
Chairman.
I thought we did.
No.
Okay.
This is our report card based upon what Pringle CPA thought of what we did. We get one every single year. And what this process is they say that there are, you know, they have some recommended changes. We either agree or disagree with the recommended changes and then submit this report to the Department of Taxation. And I'll go over it very briefly. There were three recommendations. Some of these you'll see from year to year just kind of pop up, and there's reasons for that. The first one is we recommend monitoring expenditures to prevent exceeding budgeted amounts as expenditures exceeded appropriations in 5 special revenue funds and 1 enterprise fund. And before I go, there's again a qualification here. It's because we try and run a tight ship. We could give these people whatever budgeted amounts they wanted. We would never have one of these. But because we operate this as a government business, we're going to have those times where something props up, either after we've already augmented or during the augmentation process, that happens. But at least we know about it. So I don't mind these recommendations because, for the most part, all of these have been looked at, and my remarks here will hopefully explain that. The 474. Fire district salaries and benefits were $199,000 over appropriations. This was basically due to a SAFER grant. SAFER grant is used to pay for some of these expenses. That payment for those was not received till several months after the year ended and was not caught by the auditors. So consequently, that should have been moved back into that, and that actually that should it not have been a remark. The Virginia City Tourism Special Revenue Fund exceeded appropriations by $36,181. There is a letter from Danny Dotson explaining it. A lot of it had to do with the bleachers and things of that nature. And this is, again, one of those things where we look at it and say, you know, just because it's not in this budget is a necessary and ordinary expense that we need for the protection of his of the cattle rations or the bull riding events, and it was approved by his board and passed.
Hang on before you go on. I don't think the letter made it into the packet, so I would suggest to you you get a an email copy out to all three commissioners and the clerk so it can be included in the record.
I
think we're good for now.
Okay. The USDA Special Revenue Fund was over about $1,650, and that was pretty much due to some cleaning up that we were going to do that we did for the wastewater treatment plant. We moved all of that from the USDA fund to the sewer. There was just some expenses that overlapped, and that was the explanation for that. The Justice Court revenue expenses exceeded appropriations. A lot of it was for training expenses for the bailiff and also for pretrial services. Water system expenses exceeded appropriations by $22,000. Which was interest that we always charge on the 1997 wastewater revenue bond that was accidentally not included in last year's budget. I'm going to probably ask the commission that at this point in time I think it's about $500,000 that we pay off that bond because the bond's at about a 6% rate. Mutual aid had excess expenses over appropriations of $20,000 due to heavy equipment repair, and understand that the mutual aid is strictly for those incidents that is pretty much outside the 474 fire district, which means that it is the old wildland fire special revenue fund. And so consequently, whenever our personnel are go out on one of these things, there's always reimbursements that come back. We don't know about those reimbursements, usually if it's a fire in May or June, what that's going to get paid off, and subsequently some of these funds have gotten paid. And federal grant revenue fund expenses exceeded appropriations by $281,000, and these are basically grants that were issued in a prior year and paid in a subsequent year. Those timing differences will occur. And so consequently, we will probably this year just take and make receivables out of them, take them to the balance sheet so there's nothing, so we don't have anything of the misappropriation check. The second item was we recommend account names in the federal state grant fund to be reviewed and adjusted to further differentiate the federal and state grant funds and expenditures. The county may want to consider establishing a separate state grant fund. We've been tackling this thing for the last two or three years, and there's a lot that depends on this. Sometimes there's a state grant that ends up being a federal grant. And so I think if we, it's always been, one of those things that it keeps coming up. Sherry's aware of it. We're just going to try and do a good job of trying to, and they're all marked. Sherry does a wonderful job of it. But sometimes the grants that are issued other than out of Sherry's is what we're talking about. Say it's in the 474 fire district or there's a grant from the PCTC that happens, we're just going to have to educate that to make sure that those are okay. We recommend the cutoff date of August 30th to be established and strictly enforced for all payables, receivables, and journal entries by any government employee to prevent complications with the audit. And I concur with this. I mean, we have in prior years established that, if we got through at least two payroll periods and at least three voucher periods, that we would probably catch it all, but sometimes we don't. The other side of it is on the revenue side. There are so much, there are so many things that are sitting out here that we don't get paid for until October. It's really hard to estimate all of that stuff. But we're going to try and do a great job, a better job of this, because I think it's necessary, and it prevents us from, in the case of a couple of years ago with the Department of Taxation, on a centrally assessed, paid us about $4 million, and we didn't get that till October, and that was a prior period adjustment. So with that, those are my recommendations for your approval.
Okay. And I would just note before we actually sign that document that we will correct it to show Vice Chairman McGuffey's correct title and Commissioner Gilman's correct title.
Thanks for that.
You also need to be a title correction in there too. The amount of the 28,000 was got an and.
I'll find it.
Okay.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the audited, regarding the auditor's recommendations? Come on up.
Commissioners, Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident, and in reference to a letter from Danny Dotson, is that in the package?
No, we said it wasn't in the package.
Was not?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Commissioners have any questions or comments regarding? I get a motion to approve the auditor's recommendations.
I here make a motion to approve the recommended actions pertaining to the auditor's recommendations for the audit report period in June 30th, 2016.
Second.
We move to second to approve the auditor's recommendations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, if I may make an additional comment.
Yes.
We are in February once again. Looking at approving the financial statements instead of the first part of December or in November. In order to prevent another episode on my part from hopefully straining not to get another phone call from our county manager as to when the financial statement should be made, it really isn't. I don't have a lot to do with it, but I don't blame that. I really don't. I'm going to, with your guidance, I'm going to put the audit out for an RFP. There's many reasons for this. David Pringle has been doing this for a very long time. However, this county has grown. I mean, we've gone from possibly 10 or 15 special revenue funds to 33 and grown. We also have the ability now to look at, see what's out there. There also is going to be some assistance we're going to need. Number one, especially with, if we're going to have to do, another information system, there's got to be internal controls with that, and much bigger firms are going to be able to at least give us some ideas and information and guidance as to how we navigate through that. It's not going to be the $40,000 bill every year, but I think by at least giving us or you the ability to sit out there and say, this firm is, or that firm, or possibly Pringle, I think it's time. And, you know, I've been kind of not doing it for a while, but I think it's time to do that. So what we're going to do effective probably next week is put an RFP out, because we have to claim the auditor by March 30th. So that will be the second meeting in March for the commission.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Moving along now to item number 13. This is discussion of possible action. Action to allow Story County Sheriff's Office to work with DPS, OTS, to obtain electronic citation devices through grant process. Sheriff Antonoro.
This is something that we've been working on for a while. I gave the interlocal contract to the district attorney's office for review, and I don't believe there was any issues with it. Right now it's just a contract to get paperwork and stuff going. They will need to have a signature at some point in time. This is something that they'll be paying for. Basically, we just have a match to it, and that can be included in our training and time involved in learning the system, but this will help reduce our cost as far as having to constantly buy paper citations. It'll improve our efficiency with crash reporting, because that's part of this programming. They're little handheld devices, so it's real quick, push a few buttons, they'll be able to scan driver's licenses, information into it, things of that nature. So, say the cost to us will be met, or the county's cost will be met through in-kind contributions, not an actual cash outlay. But we just don't want to hold up the process. So asking for authorization to run a run with it and get it going.
I don't have a problem with it, but I do want to ask a question. You know, when I was a JP, usually when you had an expense over $1,500, you had to kind of let somebody know. Is that still the case? Or
Yes, but this is a grant. Not
yes.
So this isn't an expense, this is a grant.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Now, from what I understand also from DPS, is this should interface with the system that the court is using too, so we have that electronic link transfer forth. Yeah. So. Okay.
Do you know, no chance of a lost ticket anymore, huh?
not much.
Did you have a question, Pat?
No, I'm good.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Commissioners, have any questions? Any additional questions for the sheriff on this? Okay. Motion for approval?
Okay. I'll make a motion to allow Sheriff Antonaro to sign contract and proceed with the implementation of grant for the electronic citation devices and any matters related thereto.
Second.
Moved and second to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you. I'll keep you updated as it rolls up.
All right, moving on to the next item number 14. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and turn the gavel over to the Vice Chairman McGuffey. This item, I have a pecuniary interest in this, and so I'll take a seat in the audience, and I'll abstain from any voting, so won't participate in any deliberations.
Okay. Item 14, we're looking for the approval of accounts payable check number 87664 in the amount of $4,500 to the Bucket of Blood Saloon for the parking lot lease.
Mr. Vice Chairman, this is our regular quarterly reoccurring payment. As you can tell by looking out under the snow, but you can see fencing and block, we are progressing by millimeters now. Just anxious to get that paving done, but under it you'll see the pavers. The fence is essentially done. We need to get a few more clearances. The EV chargers are in hand. They are not installed. But the good news is, hopefully this is the second to the last quarterly payment I think we'll be making, because I think we transfer from an equity interest to an ownership interest, I believe, under contract on the 1st of July or somewhere thereabouts. So
there could be one more.
Regular, there will be one more.
Okay. Any public comment on this issue? No? I'll ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the accounts payable check number 87664 in the amount of $4,500 to the Bucket of Bud Saloon for the parking lot lease.
And I'll second that motion. All in favor? Aye.
Do you need public comment on this?
No, yes, for public comment. Okay.
Aye.
Motion passed. Thank you.
How about we take about a 5-minute recess?